going on, everybody? This is your host of the Reckless Effect podcast. This is Reckless, King Reckless in the building. So by now, you guys already know and heard the news that the legend Jason David Frank committed suicide a couple days ago. And you know, it's what's strange is, like, I understand that, you know, death is a part of life, you know, like there is an end to this, you know. And when you see, you know, your friends or your heroes and they pass on, you know, it's always sad, but there's always that few, you know, that hit very differently, you know, like years ago when Stuart Scott passed away, I was shook. And it was mostly because I got into watching sports heavily because of that man, watching SportsCenter for him, you know. And no hate on Mr. Van Pelt, but it was just like, you know, Stuart Scott was that beating heart, and I would seriously watch just because I knew he was going to be on, you know. And he made it very, very fun to watch. And, you know, watching his story and watching him fight cancer, you know, the diagnosis, and fighting and beating it and then coming back and him fighting, and that beautiful speech, you know, at the ESPYs, and then to lose him, it was just heartbreaking. And I kept trying to figure out why it was just so painful to see, to get that news. And then years later, again, when Chadwick Boseman passed, you know, it hurt, you know. And not, and I didn't have the same connection, you know, spanning, you know, decades of watching this man, hearing this man, and all that. It was just, this role was so impactful. His energy and his light was very impactful. And at the same time, it was like, why does this hurt? You know, like, it hurt. And we can say, like, it was because of his role. It was the king and everything that I said previously. It was all of those things, but it was still like, well, I didn't grow up with this man. It'd be different if I grew up watching this person. And then this. And to lose him in such a sad, sad way, it's just painful. It's extremely painful. So I wanted to, you know, at least give him that bit of this podcast and just reveal some things. And I sat with this for days. When I read that message, I couldn't believe it. I looked it up and I just read all this stuff, and it was just so painful. And by the time I was done reading, I had, like, my shirt was soaked because I was just in tears. And I couldn't believe that this man that I watched as a kid, you know, and whenever I heard, Tommy's back on whatever, you know, version of the Power Rangers, like, oh, I gotta watch that, I gotta see that, you know, just because it felt the same. Like, it didn't feel different. It wasn't like, oh, he's just trying to hold on to his old glory, you know. You can make that excuse or you can say that, but it was really like, it was beautiful to see. And then in the Power Rangers movie, when he made the cameo as just, you know, a person on the street, and he was there with Kimberly, it was so beautiful to see those two people together, you know. And I had all these thoughts, but this one in particular came into mind. When I was a kid, I used to get bullied a lot. I used to get bullied, made fun of, you know, and I've talked about it before, but one of those things that helped, you know, was me and my brother running home, you know, and watching Power Rangers. You know, it was weird to look at these characters on the screen and, you know, see myself in each one of them, you know. I was a dork, just like Billy, you know, the kid who always raised his hand, that always got all the answers, that was smarter than I was supposed to be. And then I was tall and skinny, had big ears, buck teeth, you know, and I was just a pincushion. And then all of a sudden, you know, this character on screen was me. And I was like, oh man, I'm totally Blue Ranger. But then, you know, seeing Zach dance and get down like that, it was just like, I want to do that too. And I love dancing already. And it was just cool to see this person on screen dancing and no one's making fun of him for it. And that's what I was used to, people making fun of me for dancing, for loving this art and this sport. And it was just so, it was great to see someone on screen, you know, be that for me. And then Tommy was introduced, and he was just such a badass, and he was so cool. And I didn't know that originally he was only going to be like in 10 episodes, and then they were going to kill him, and that was it. And he was just grateful of the opportunity. And because he became so popular, you know, it just stayed. Like, he stayed. And you cannot imagine the Power Rangers without him. But anyway, as a kid, I wanted to be a Power Ranger. I was obsessed. I really was. I learned to fight and to kick and do all that stuff. And I actually ended up doing a really high kick, and I touched the ceiling, and I fell straight down and broke my arm. And it was crazy to see my bone damn near poking through, you know, my arm, like the flesh. And it was just like, I stayed brave. And then my mom told me, you're a Power Ranger, like, you're brave, you're fine, because they get hurt but they get back up. And sitting in the hospital, you know, reading a book and waiting for them to, you know, put me into surgery so they can fix my arm, and then they did. And I kept watching Power Rangers, I kept watching all that stuff, and I loved Power Rangers. I stopped watching when Tommy left, and then they went into space. Like, to me, that was like, okay, this is never going to be the same again. And, you know, at that time, it wasn't cool. I got into wrestling, and again, wrestling wasn't cool, but I got into wrestling. But through the years, whenever I saw, you know, Walter E. Jones, in anything, I think the show was called Space Cases. He was on there. I watched it just because I liked him and I wanted to watch Zach. Whenever I saw Kimberly in anything, like, she actually was in this movie, Susie Q, and me and my brother watched that because we loved her. Like, she was my first crush. Her and Topanga. Those were my two first crushes when I was a kid, and I was obsessed. Like, I loved those two girls. I loved those women. And she was also on a show called Flashpoint. She was on Felicity, but, you know, I wasn't into Felicity, but Flashpoint was dope. And it was based in Canada, and they were like a SWAT team, a special response team. And, I only watched it because of her, and she killed it, you know. I even bought an album of hers, just because I was such a fan. Like, I held on to that memory of coming home from school and watching this show. But whenever Tommy was back on Power Rangers, I'm on it. whenever there was a something like in the news about him, I watched, I read it. Him doing MMA, amateur and pro, him ch wanting to challenge CM Punk to a real fight. Like, that stuff right there was just amazing to me, and I loved it. I loved it. And Tommy was always just the coolest person, you know. Jason David Frank seemed like the coolest person in the world. And a few years ago, I found out that they were coming here to Sacramento, and I wanted so bad to go to that Comic-Con and see him. Or I think it was Stockton. And I really wanted to go, and I was stoked. And I was saving so I can go buy a ticket so I can go. And by the time I got the money together to pay for the ticket, it was sold out. And I like looked and searched to see if anybody was selling tickets. And of course, nobody is. But, you know, it hurt to miss out on that opportunity to m meet my hero, you know. And it's still so painful to just imagine a world where the Green Ranger is gone. You know, Jason Frank David or Jason David Frank is gone. I didn't have any words. I didn't know what to say. I reached out to my brother, and he was just as shocked and just as hurt. We poured one out for him. We had drinks for him. Even my lady friend, we had a drink in his honor because it was just so painful. And it, I'm used to my girl making fun of me, you know, about just about anything. But this one, she didn't know why I was like really upset, but she can see that I was upset about it. And me telling her the story of what I just told you, I went into deeper detail, but she just looked at me and said, "We should have a drink for him then." And we did, but it's still so painful to think about, to see someone that you grew up with, that you admired, you know, hurting, hurting. You know, and them taking their own life, like it's just sad. And I realized I felt this way with all those people that I mentioned, but I also felt it with Chester Bennington when he passed. I felt it when Chris Cornell passed. Like, Chris Cornell hurt so bad. You know, growing up listening to grunge and identifying with that sound, that music, that those stories, you know. And he's gone. You know, it, and suicide is something that I really identify with as someone who's made attempts and was in the hospital just wanting to feel okay, just wanting to know that this can get better. And it sucks. It hurts to feel like you have nothing and say this is it and mean it. You know, I was lucky that my attempt failed. But I was grateful that it did at the same time because I wouldn't have seen my daughter become this amazing person, this marvel, you know. I would miss out on so many things. And it's sad to see that he won't be here for the next, the beauty of the next. I mean, it's just so sad, and it hurts. I really don't know what to say. I mean, it's strange. It's so, it's, I don't know. Like, even telling my mom and seeing the look on her face and the tears coming up, it was just like, she was there with us. Like, she knew how much Power Rangers meant to us as kids. And as an adult, watching him, and, you know, I was actually doing a marathon and watching Power Rangers, and, like, don't get me wrong, it's cheesy. It was cheesy looking at it as an adult, but then getting those fond memories of watching this and remembering, oh man, on this, oh, I remember this part when I was, and this time this happened, like, that is, that nostalgia is amazing to me. It's beautiful to me. And I, excuse me, it's just, it's painful to lose someone that you admire and look up to. Someone that, you know, helped you along your way. Even though they're characters on a screen, they still mean something. They still mean something to us. That's why kids who grew up watching wrestling still watch it today as adults, and then they share it with their kids because of how it made them feel. To those hardcore wrestling fans, it's still real to them. Even though they know the mechanics, they know that there's an outcome, they know all of this stuff, it's still real, because there are moments where you're like, oh, and they got you. It's like the perfect magic trick, you know? And I will forever love that. And those larger than life characters, they're just people on a screen, but they're people nonetheless, and they still influence and they still shape you to be who you are destined to become. And it's painful to know that they're not here anymore. It's painful to know that he's not here. I'm glad that he was able to do all the Comic Cons, all the meets and all the stuff like that, because he was able to get his flowers. You know, and I wish that they were enough for him. I wish that they were enough for him. And, I don't know what else to say. I really don't. But, I personally want to say thank you. Thank you, Jason David Frank. Thank you, Tommy Oliver. Thank you for playing such a magnificent role that shaped many lives. I mean, you played this role in the 90s, and your last appearance was just a couple years ago. You know, like, it's amazing. It's beautiful. And I'll miss you. And we'll all miss you. And just thank you for everything. Thank you. You know what really made me cry? Watching Instagram Live and seeing Amy Jo Johnson sing him a song, and the first words that she could say in that live, and she just broke down in tears. Like, that hurts. And it honestly just, I'm gonna change course, but thank you, Tommy. And this one's for you. One last time, to a fallen soldier, to a fallen ranger.
Knowing my flaws, but you still love me. I bet my demons make it hard to trust me. Knowing the times, love just might get ugly. Knowing my scars to cause the problems we fought. All my exes wanna be Beyonce. Crazy in love to the left, she's on it. Telling me about how you feel through text. That ain't a way for us to reconnect. She's a baddie with an attitude. She wanna leave, but she never do. Slow it down, but we still move. She just wants to be a naughty girl. She just wants someone to fall in love with her. But it's not me. It's not me. All she wanna be is Cinderella. I don't have the heart to go and tell her. It's not me. It's not me.
Don't compare me to your ex. We won't know that's disrespectful. Second, you shouldn't speak about Beyonce. You'll never be Jay. Fuck what you gon' say about her, about me, about we, about us, about trust. Now just play your cards right, and I might let you take me out, but I will never let you take me for granted. I'll never let you make me feel average. Pussy was a word and you're here to track me. Nope, I'll never give you the satisfaction.
She's a baddie with an attitude. She wanna leave, but she never do. Slow it down, but we still move. She just wants to be a naughty girl. She just wants someone to fall in love with her. But it's not me. It's not me. All she wanna be is Cinderella. I don't have the heart to go and tell her. It's not me. It's not me. Such a fucking liar, look how you deny her. Can't believe you tried it, that's why she despised you. But the broken one's always breaking. Can't believe I tried to tame you. Can't believe I tried to save you. That's what got my breaking. And I can't even say shit, but I can't even say shit, but gotta keep my heart on lockdown. Writing this to you from lockdown. That's the room we are now. That's the only place that we are now. Yeah, yeah.
Yo. Okay, so that was from Rory. From Rory Amahl podcast. Yeah, that was, if you haven't heard that, man, he got another couple joints out there, but that one just happened to be my favorite. He dropped that not too long ago. He has another one called Don't Go. I Want You But You'll Never Know. Actually, he just dropped Don't Go. I think that's gonna be the outro for tonight, but or whenever you're listening to this episode. But let's get into some other shit. So this is, there's a lot of random shit that's been going on. And I kind of want to touch on just a few of my favorite things that have been going out. Let's talk about this Harvey Weinstein trial. Now, if you don't know who he is, you should. But for those who don't, he was a powerful executive in Hollywood. He was doing some nasty, nasty, nasty things, apparently. He was already found guilty on one set of charges up in New York, but then he was extradited to California for another trial. And one of the witnesses that testified was Gavin Newsom's wife, Jennifer Seibel Newsom. That was very interesting. Not because she's the governor's wife, but what made it interesting was the cross-examination from Harvey's legal team. That was surprising. Let's just get into that. When she testified about the sexual assault, she was, I can't even stress this enough, she was shockingly asked to recreate how she faked an orgasm with Harvey Weinstein. Yes, that was an actual, I could not, that's, so she's on the stand, and they ask her this, because Weinstein's defense attorney questioned how she, quote, indicated her pleasure during what she claims was a 2005 rape by Harvey Weinstein at a hotel. And when she got that question, she, and was asked to recreate it, she shot back at him and said, this is not, and this is a quote from her, this is not when Harry met Sally. I'm not doing that. And if you don't know, she's referencing the scene from the movie where Meg Ryan's character is faking an orgasm at the table. And she's, but anyway, she started to cry. And then she said, I was making noises to get him to finish. He had already raped me. This is so gross. It's just, what? The balls, the just, who in their right fucking mind would be like, you know what, I'm gonna try to get this bitch to recreate that shit. No, nasty. You're nasty. That's, are you kidding me? Like, who does that? But then when she described his penis, that was funny. She described it as kind of fish-like. It was something was distorted in the testicles. Lots of skin down there. So Mrs. Governor Newsom is the fourth woman, or was the fourth woman, to testify at the trial. And it's just, ugh. Like I said, he's already serving a 23-year sentence for a rape conviction in New York. He pled not guilty to 11 counts of rape and sexual assault in California that involved five women. It's just, ugh. It's nasty. Just nasty. Who in their right mind, who is this legal team? Like, that's, is that really, was that really, you know, the wave? You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Ugh. That's just nasty. Let's move on to something else. So, again, by now, we all know about Takeoff's death and how sad and unfortunate that was. Offset actually posted last week, over a week ago, wrote him a nice letter, and he basically said that it feels like a nightmare. My heart is shattered, and I have so many things to say, but I can't find the words. Reality feels like a nightmare. I mean, it's, we don't need to get too sad and depressing on this one, but it, what is sad is that this young man lost his life over nonsense. And it's just sad. You know, nobody should ever have to lose their life for nothing, you know. And for those who are like, it could be something, you know, that's gang life, you know, that's that mentality, that's blah, 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 that's a poor excuse. Because nobody should lose their life over an argument, over a disagreement. No one should lose their life over that. And it's really, really sad. It's just really sad to see. Let's get into something else that I'm kind of jumping around because I'm still kind of like, but rest in peace to Takeoff. Let's get into this. So the AMAs was this past weekend, and notably someone was missing, and that was Chris Brown. Chris Brown was supposed to put on a tribute for Michael Jackson during the AMAs, but the, you know, the big wigs up there was like, nah, we gonna kill that. They thought that it would be in bad taste to have a domestic abuser paying tribute to an alleged child molester. That's icky. That's nasty. That's nasty. Not the allegations. What's nasty is this is the 40th anniversary of Thriller. 40 fucking years of this amazing album that sold so many records. And personally, even though the person who has the group that has the record for most album sales is the Eagles, but I kind of don't want to count it because it is their greatest hits. So number two on that list is Michael Jackson's Thriller. So I want to say with 36 million album sales, that Thriller is the best-selling album of all time. We can talk about the Eagles all you want. They had some great hits. I mean, come on. But at the same time, Michael Jackson's Thriller. Thriller. It's Thriller. Anyway, the thing that makes it nasty to me is that them taking that stance, right? Them taking that stance saying, yeah, we're bringing up this thing that happened with Chris Brown that he lived through. He admitted he was wrong. He went to court. He went to counseling. He went to therapy. He went to church. He went back to his roots. He did everything he can to get past his demons and his past actions. Has he done it again since? No. Has he, done anything remotely close to battering, assault, or anything of the variety that would tarnish his? No. He completely 180'd and became who he was supposed to be, you know, and he's worked his ass off to outrun that. Not even outrun it, but set it to the side and be like, yo, this was me, but I'm not this anymore. And he's proved it. When are we going to allow, and I'm not talking about just us as, you know, as black people. I'm talking about, you know, these people that are, quote, in charge, the people who have the money, the people who run the world. When are we going to stop allowing them to dictate what we can and what we can't, who we are and who we're not? And when are these people that have want to bring up that old shit? Oh, well, you was. Oh, well, you did. And well, you was. Like, when are we going to stop that? You know, if somebody is working their ass off to become the best version of themselves and to become who they're supposed to be, if they are working hard to become better and they show and prove that they are not who they once were, or they have made amends to their mistakes, if the victim of his mistake has moved on and said, you know what, that happened, it's fine, we cool, like, we were both in fucked up places, whatever, like, it's not okay that you put your hands on me, but at the same time, you know, I can forgive you. You know, when are we going to say, when are we going to be less angry than the one who's forgiven and moved on. When is that going to happen? When are we going to realize that maybe, just maybe, we're holding on to something that we should have let go a long time ago? This man deserved that opportunity to get on stage and show you this art and who he is. You know, I saw the video of their performance that they were working on. Lyle Benega, shout out to Lyle. He posted that, and I watched and was like, man, y'all would have killed it. You would have killed it. But you're going to deny it because of what you feel may be inappropriate. But no one is going to fucking think that, fucking nobody. Because in reality, in this day and age, we can learn to forgive and move on and accept you for who you are today. If you were a piece of shit, that doesn't always mean that you're going to continue to be a piece of shit. That's not the wave. And I personally was on that bus of people who were looking at Chris Brown and was like, you an asshole, like, whatever, like, fuck out of here. But he put in the work. The documentary was a little too much, but he put in the work. And he proved to me that you can outrun your demons, you know? And he got back into these good graces. It's so stupid to hold that against him. And when it comes to Michael Jackson, please let this shit go. You keep saying alleged. Was anything proven? No. Did he go to court? Yeah. Did he win? Yeah. And people say, oh, well, there wasn't enough evidence. I'm sorry. People, weren't there quote-unquote eyewitnesses, people that worked with him who said this, that, and the third? And Michael Jackson still won? Oh, it's because he's a celebrity. No. It's because there wasn't any fucking proof. And listen, people, I want to ask you a real question. The FBI, when they go after somebody, they fucking go hard. Right? They go hard in the paint. They will find any and everything. Ask Gunna. Seriously? The FBI has been investigating Michael Jackson for over a decade. A decade. They were in his home. They did infrared. They tapped his phones. They put in cameras. They did all that shit to get him on something. Most likely trafficking. It makes sense. It makes sense. Because if he went to all these places, he's meeting all these kids. It is. And he took some of these kids from here to there and brought them to his house and all that shit. It is highly possible that that's what they're looking for. Something. You mean in a fucking decade, they didn't find shit? They didn't find anything? And you're thinking, oh, he's just good. No one is that fucking good. No one. No one. Right? So if the FBI couldn't find shit on him after a decade of investigations and wiretaps, phones, and all that shit, they found nothing. But these two little nicklets come out here and they're like, oh, well, Michael Jackson did this. And then, oh, you said this happened here? That's impossible because of this, this, and this. Boom, you said this happened? Oh, that's impossible because of this, this, and this. Oh, I find it interesting, Mr. Wade, and I love Wade Robson. This is not a hate, but, you know, facts are facts. You say that this happened, but you said for years of this, oh, well, child Trump. Yeah, okay, I believe that, but let's really focus on something real quick. Wasn't Wade talking about he was broke? Wasn't Wade talking about how he had to sell off all this merchandise so then he can try to pay his bills and get some money after Michael Jackson died? Don't you think it's funny that all of this was happening and then he, in that famous documentary, that he burned all of the Michael Jackson memorabilia, but after that documentary came out, it was found that he was still selling them? Why do you think no one is fucking talking about it, people at the AMAs? 'Cause you know. Or you just want to do some controversial shit and you're fucking ridiculous. So Chris Brown wasn't able to perform. Chris Brown wasn't able to pay homage to a legend like Michael Jackson because of your personal feelings. That is hilarious. That's fucking hilarious. And it's the dumbest thing that they could have done. If I was fucking with, I would not show up to that shit ever again. No. Because it's dumb. It's dumb. Like, why do we do this? Why? I don't know. It's just, it's really dumb. We live in a really weird ass world where we criticize people for what we think that they did and what we want them to have done, instead of taking them on at face value and seeing that, yeah, you're probably not what we think you are. We can't accept the proof that maybe, just maybe, these people are fucking human. Or just because they're different, we look at them weird. I mean, I remember a time when Ciara first came out and word on the street is that she's a man. Word on the street. Ciara's a man. You know, stupid. That rumor went fucking everywhere. I thought it was just something in my school, but it was like everywhere, to where it even got back to her and she was like, how? What? What makes you think that? That makes no sense. You know, it's just rumors, man. Fucking ridiculous. Like, this is some childish. But I understand the seriousness of the allegations. And I'm not saying, I'm only going with the facts. That's why the family didn't say shit. Except when the day after, and why do people ignore this? The day after that documentary was finalized, Oprah opened up her mouth and said, well, it's time to let the king of pop go to rest, blah, 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 blah. She had to fucking put her foot in the mouth when the family came out and was like, yeah, I just love that they didn't even come to us and talk to us and try to get anything from us, because we have all the shit from the FBI that shows nothing. Nothing. And I just, that's just astounding to me. And if you want to look that up, that was on the Breakfast Club when they called in and was like, this, no, we have all this. Like, the FBI didn't find shit. Are you fucking serious? And then the architects and people came in and was like, nope, that's a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie. This couldn't happen because of this and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's proof to counter everything that they're saying. That's why before the documentary came out, that's when Wade Robson was like, like years earlier, was like, yeah, Michael Jackson, that's me. Touch me. Blah, blah, blah. And he sued the estate and he fucking lost. And then this Malkchek, whatever the fuck his name is, came out and said all this shit, and it was like, dude, you're lying because of this, this, and this. So we know you're lying. You said this definitively happened here at this point on this thing, but that's a lie because of this, this, and this. And then they sued the estate again and lost. Why do you think they keep losing? They didn't get paid out. They keep losing because they didn't have shit. Because they didn't know that the family had the FBI's notes and shit. They didn't know that. Nobody fucking knows that. The family's not really talking about it. Because who gives a fuck? To them, they're thinking, who gives a fuck? Because we know the truth. You guys are just money hungry and just assholes. And you think you know something, but you don't fucking know anything. So, these dumbass, it's just stupid. Chris Brown would have killed that shit. He would have mopped the fucking floor with that show. He would have stole the whole goddamn show. He would have. Like, let's just be real. So, I just say that to say, what the fuck? Act like you got some sense, people. Act like you got some motherfucking sense. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying. Yeah. Actually, that's all I really want to get into. I mean, I was gonna talk about this OnlyFans thing with the model who killed a boyfriend, because that shit is wild. I almost wanted to subscribe, but I'm not that desperate. You know what I mean? I don't really want to know, because allegedly she went on her page after the whole shit and uploaded some shit. Like, that's nasty. That's some wild, that's some wild girl shit. That's some hot girl summer shit. Like, for real, for real. That's just, ugh. You know? Like, ugh. That's just nasty. I don't even know what to say. That's just nasty. There are just some things that just make you, like, that make you look at people like, what the fuck? What are you doing with your life? I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. But before I do, there's a song that I have been listening to. And it's by Takara. And if you guys haven't followed her, you guys need to get on this album. Takara, T-A-K-A-R-A. The album is kind of messy. And, like, her voice is just beautiful. And she gets really raw on this album. One of the songs critically acclaimed is, it's deep. It's deep. It's very, you know, pointed at somebody, like finger in your face type shit. And it's deep. But the song that I was going to play is Leonardo. I like the rhythm. I like, you know, her cadence. I like her flow. I love her voice. The story is lovely. She's probably one of my favorite new young artists to come out. Independent all the way. And I'm here for it. And y'all just need to get in on this shit. But this is Leonardo by I'm an idiot. This is Leonardo by Takara.
Nice eyes, yeah. Use them to look through me when you tell me lies, yeah. No, I never been the type to like surprises. So, babe, I didn't like the things that you were hiding. Yeah, I met you in LA, and you told me you want me to come and have your babies. But first, you want me to yourself to be a lady, and I will never be alone in love again. You approach me on the dance floor, and I tell my friends that that's the way I want a man to come and show me he could be the one to make me fall in love with him. No, I've never been the type to meet someone and instantly just catch a vibe through. You feel the same, tell me where you also lie to. Cause now I'll never fall in love again. I wanna erase you, wipe you off. I wanna replace everything that I lost. Cause I lost a part of me. I gave you everything. You weren't a mistake, but you did me wrong. And I fell for the bait. I just wanted to be loved. Chewed me up and spat me out. Left me looking like a clown. You took me to the strip club and let me watch while you got everyone's number trying to get a private show. You keep turning around to see if you could get away with it. And it's not that I'm salty, I love strippers too, but I wanna be the one who buys the dances for you. Cause you're supposed to be my man, and shit, that's what cheaters do. And now you out here whining. Damn, I should've known your ass may be so. 6'3", but baby, you ain't even grown. Should've dissed you sooner, but the dick was too damn good. Wish I was never on the dance floor, and I wish I told my friends that I don't want a man to come and show me he could be the one to make me fall in love with him. No, I've never been the type to meet someone and instantly just catch a vibe, dude. You feel the same, tell me where you also lied to. Cause now I'll never fall in love again. I wanna erase you, wipe you off. I wanna replace everything I forgot. Cause I lost a part of me when I gave you everything. No, you weren't a mistake, but you did me wrong. And I fell for the bait, I just wanted to be up. Chew me up and spat me out. You left me looking like a clown. I just wanna erase you, wipe you off. I wanna replace everything I gave up. Cause I lost a part of me when I gave you everything. No, you weren't a mistake, but you did me wrong. And I fell for the pain, I just wanted to be up. Chewed me off and spat me out. You left me looking like a clown.
Yo, you need to get on that girl. Like, she got bars, yo. She got bars. Just accept it. All right, I'm going to get up out of here. But before I do, this is critically acclaimed also by Takara. It's on Spotify. Go follow. Go. Actually, you know what? Let me give you guys a bop. You know, I got to, because this is just, the song is just dope. Anyway, this is B-A-H by Takara. If you don't know, now you know. This is your boy, King Reckless, and I'm out.
I go to bed every night at 4 in the morning. I'm fucking tired.
Boy, I think that we got a problem. Keep wasting my time. They act like you don't recall it. Boy, I keep on trying to solve it. But it's fine. You can try, but you can't force it. Hit me with the raindrops. Hit me with the blank stares. Speaking in excuses. Oh, it's so fucking useless. So now I'm over you, I guess. But I wanted the opposite. I keep seeing all the facts, but I know I'll do it all again. You keep wasting all my time, and everybody knows it. Why do I keep fucking these broke ass hoes? My friends keep asking why I let you. Conflicting for them also. Why do I keep fucking these broke ass hoes? Jamie had a girlfriend. Jamie was a douchebag. Taylor had a strong head. Taylor shouldn't do that. He was on the defense. Casey had his reasons. He was keeping secrets. Cause he had a small penis. And Michael liked his alcohol. He had potential, but he drank it all. And when I found out Thomas cheating,
I was quick to leave.
Me and myself, we had a meeting. She told me, mama, they don't raise no girl. So I wouldn't want to grow up strong like her. I mean, what is a girl to do with pretty faces that are clueless? Hit me with the rain checks.
Hit me with the
blank stares. Speaking in excuses.
Speaking in
a way so
so fucking useless. So now I'm over you, I guess. But I wanted the opposite. I keep seeing all the flags, but I know I'll do it all again. So, bro, you keep wasting.
Scrubs at TLC.